Next heading, getting the most out of this book. In other words, learning by teaching and by doing. If you'd like to get the most out of this book and initiate powerful change and growth in your life and organizations, and to get on that higher road toward greatness, I recommend two simple ideas to you. If you will do these two things, I guarantee dramatic results. The first is, teach others what you learn. Share what you learn. The second is to systematically apply what you learn. In other words, to do it. To be a doer, not just a hearer. Let's look at the first one. Teach and share as you go. Almost everyone acknowledges you learn best when you teach another, and that your learning is internalized when you live it. While teaching at a university a few years ago, I met a visiting professor, Dr. Walter Gong, from San Jose, California. He taught a one-semester class for faculty entitled, How to Improve Your Teaching. The essence of his program was this great principle. The best way to get people to learn is to turn them into teachers. In other words, you learn the material best when you teach it. This is a paradigm shift. The fastest way to change a person's paradigm is to change their role. When you see your role as a teacher instead of a learner, your paradigm has shifted and you become a better learner. I immediately started to apply that principle in my work and at home. When I first started teaching university classes, my classes averaged about 15 to 30 students. When I started applying Dr. Gong's principle, I found that I could effectively teach many more students. In fact, some of my classes were packed with nearly 1,000 students. And yet the students' performance and test scores actually went up. Then with the small classes. Why? When you teach, you simply learn better. The paradigm has shifted. Every student becomes a teacher, and every teacher a student. Now, the common paradigm is that the teacher-student ratio is critical. Fewer students mean higher quality teaching. But by turning your students into teachers, you gain leverage. You have a one-to-one relationship. You simply move the fulcrum over. Also, when you teach or share what you are learning with others, you implicitly commit socially to live what you teach. Because you are teaching it, you will naturally be more motivated to live it. This sharing will be a basis for deepening your learning, your commitment, and your motivation, making change legitimate, and enrolling others as a support team. You will also find that sharing creates bonding with people, especially with your children. Have them regularly teach you what they are learning in school. My wife Sandra and I have found that by doing this simple thing essentially eliminates any need for external motivation with our children and their studies. Those who teach what they are learning are by far the greatest students. Now let's look at the second suggestion. That is to apply it, to do it. In other words, to integrate what you learn into your life. Because to know and not to do is really not to know. To learn and not to do is really not to learn. In other words, to understand something but not to apply it is really not to understand it. It is only in the doing, the applying, that knowledge and understanding are internalized. They become part of you. For instance, you could study tennis as a sport by reading books and hearing lectures. But until you're actually out there on the court playing, you really wouldn't know the sport. To know and not to do is not to know. There are at least four approaches you could take in applying what you learn in this audio book. The first would be simply to listen to the book straight through. Then decide what you want to apply in your life and work. This is the way most people approach a book. It reflects the desire many of us have to get emotionally and mentally connected with the flow of ideas in a book and then to run with it. The second approach would be to listen to the entire book and then use the comprehensive understanding and cumulative motivation to go back and to listen to the book a second time. this time with the intent to apply it as you go. This could work well for many people. A third approach, one that I personally believe will yield the greatest results, would be to adopt it as a year-long personal growth and development program. Take a month for each of the remaining 12 chapters. Start by listening to the next chapter. Watch the film, then teach what you learn and apply it the rest of the month. You will find that if you will actually seek to apply what you learn in each chapter for a month, the insights you gain in the chapters that follow will profoundly increase. It's a kind of intellectual synergy where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. The cumulative effect of this approach of teaching and applying what you learn in one chapter changes the very nature of your learning in the next chapter. It lifts it to an entirely new level. The fourth approach is simply to adapt the third approach to your own timeline. Some readers or listeners may want to go faster or slower than one chapter a month. Listen to and apply a new chapter every week, every 2 weeks, every 2 months, or in whatever time frame you choose. This retains the power of the third approach that allows you the flexibility to adapt it to your own desires and circumstances. To assist you in applying the principles in each chapter of the book, regardless of which approach you choose, I have set up a special website filled with application ideas, exercises, and tools. Simply go to www.theeighthhabit.com/offers. Again, www.theeighthhabit.com/offers. And the exercises and tools will be mailed to you at your request. I've also included on the last two-page spread of the audio workbook a chart that will assist you in completing what we could call the Eighth Habit Challenge. The challenge involves accomplishing developmental and action steps for each chapter. 1. Listen to the chapter. 2. Teach the chapter to at least 2 people, including work colleagues, family members, friends, etc. 3. Make a sincere, concerted effort to live the principles included in the chapter for 1 month. 4. Report the results and your learnings from seeking to live the ideas in the chapter to a trusted colleague, a family member, or friend. This is a kind of accountability that you establish for yourself. Once you have completed the entire Eighth Habit Challenge chart, you can certify that you have done so at www.theeighthhabit.com/challenge. Again, www.theeighthhabit.com/challenge, and you will receive a special recognition for your accomplishment. As we move now to part one, find your voice, consider the words of Abraham Lincoln. The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present. Close quote. We must think anew. We must develop not only a new mindset, but also a new skill set and a new tool set that flows from it. This is difficult to do. It throws everyone out of their comfort zones. But a new reality has emerged, a new economy, a new challenge. This new challenge, not only surviving, but truly thriving in this new reality, requires a new response, a new habit. Remember, habits lie at the intersection of knowledge, attitude, and skill. As you develop these three dimensions of the eighth habit, you'll increasingly become equal to the new challenge and to your unlimited possibilities.